My next guest is known for keeping it a buck in whatever space she enters. She has become the show's resident therapist and expert on all things mental health. Today, we sit down to discuss the relationship dynamics between Black men and women. While she is no stranger to controversial topics, she definitely ruffles a few feathers during this conversation, which is why you should share this episode with all of your friends. It's always a good time talking to my sister, and this discussion was long overdue. Coming up next on the 40 Plus Files, friend to the show and licensed therapist, Lisa Butler. Welcome back to the show, Lisa. How are you today? You're looking well.
Thank you. Hey, sister, how are you?
I am good. So
good to see you.
You too, always. We have a lot to talk about today. We're going to talk about the dynamics of Black men and women, which should be pretty interesting. I caught a couple of your Facebook posts. But I think at the top of the list, let's talk about Black men dating and marrying white women, because Jay Ellis, who is the actor who played Lawrence on Insecure, you know, shout out to Issa Rae. And he's starring in the movie Top Gun Maverick. He shared a picture of him and his wife on their wedding day, Nina Sinakar. I think she is a model. So he shared the picture on social media. They have been together for several years. They have a daughter and everything, but he caught a lot of flack from Black women, many who just found out about this. I've known for several years, but
yeah, I'm late in the game. I didn't know nothing about it.
Wow.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So now here's the thing. I guess my question is, why do you believe Black men marrying white women still strikes a chord?
I think that statistically speaking, Black men marry outside the race more than any other group. Still, I mean, that was the case 20 years ago. It's still the case. And I think for Black women, so many of us who are single, who've never been married, it does sting, because it's like, why are our men choosing to marry outside the race and date outside the race when there's so many of us who don't have partners and we want Black men? And so I think that's the sting part. Because, you know, it starts to go to people's, to Black women, some of our core beliefs, is something wrong with me, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that's why it's so much for us.
Yeah, I think that I agree with that too. A friend of mine, we were talking about this, and I said, I think single Black women may feel it the most. I think those of us who are married, you know, we don't have a dog in this fight. So, you know, and I'm married to a Black man. So I think just listening to my single friends, and so, yeah, they definitely have more to say about this thing than I do. But I learned something new today. I did not know that Black men marry outside of their race more than any other group
in this world. And it's been like that for decades. I mean, so I just think that says a lot, you know, about why Black women feel some kind of way about that. Mm-hmm. You know, the idea that people can love who they want to love. That's fantastic. That's mm-hmm. great. Mm-hmm. But there are, truthfully speaking, I think we all know this, there are some other things going on within that conversation. There are other reasons why I think Black men do that. Mm-hmm. Proximity to power, the idea of marrying up, then we throw in colorism. Mm. I mean, there's a lot to unpack with that conversation. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Quincy Jones, for years, I couldn't stand him. Could not, because he has historically married white women, right? Mm-hmm. And then I watched his documentary, and it kind of slanted my view on his particular choices. His mother was a paranoid schizophrenic. Mm. And at that time, you know, there was no treatment or, you know, medication for people with that. Or it might have been, but not for Black people, Black poor women. And so she was horrifically abusive to him and his brother. Hmm. And it made sense to me that he would grow up and then, you know, potentially see his mother's face in Black women's faces and then make another choice. I could understand that. So that's a one-off case, but I think there's a lot to unpack with Black men's choices. Also, the idea that white women are more submissive, the idea, the, mm-hmm. the false belief, because that's not necessarily the truth. I have white girlfriends and ain't nothing submissive about them. But this idea that they're easier to control. Mm. And then the association between white and femininity. Mm-hmm. I mean, girl, this is just, you can just keep unpacking this for days. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, you mentioned Quincy Jones. I had a professor in undergrad who just could not stand Frederick Douglass because, you know, for yeah. all of his ongoing fight. But because he married a white woman, this particular professor just could not stand him. But he was married to a black woman for years, though.
And we forget that we skip over that part. But yeah, yes. He was. Yeah.
So, yeah. You know, and I'm talking to my sociologist and sociology majors here now. Do you believe that xenocentrism, which is the belief that other cultures are better than one's own culture, do you think that this plays a role in some people's choices to date outside of their race?
Absolutely. Now, you know, we know that white culture has been centered, you know, the idea that white is better and right. Mm-hmm. When we think about slavery and how the white woman was kind of placed on this pedestal, right? Mm-hmm. Beautiful, the alabaster skin, all of those things, and how we internalize that, right? Mm-hmm. Certainly, I think people do believe that specifically the white race is better. They've just been centered that way as long as I can remember. And well, white supremacy, right? Like it's everywhere. So absolutely. I think there's a lot of misnomer too on the side of black women who think, oh, I'm gonna go get a white man. He's gonna treat me so much better. Mm. No, men are men, right? Yeah. Let's be clear. It's not about race so much as it's about, black men and white men and their emotional, mental, spiritual health, mm-hmm. you know, that to me should be the focus, right? Like, how are you doing? Like, how are you functioning? Do you have the capability to be nice to me and kind
yes.
and to put my interests alongside yours? I don't care what race you are. If you can do that, call me.
Yeah. You know? Absolutely. You know, yeah. And as a therapist, I'm pretty sure that is at the forefront of your mind, because let's face it, it isn't about race. But I think the problem that we are talking about today is when people go out of their way to choose
yes.
other.
Yes.
And that's problematic. You know,
yes.
I think that's therein lies the problem. And I think you said colorism. I'm going to make a lot of references here today, you know, to movies and, you know, TV shows. But remember Jungle Fever, you know, Spike Lee's movie Jungle Fever. He was married to his wife. I believe her character's name is Drew. And she's very, very light skinned. Mm-hmm. And of course, he has an affair and cheats with Angie, who's the white girl. And mm-hmm. all the women are sitting around in the living room, you know, Drew and her girlfriend.
I talk about that scene all the time. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. And so they're like, you know, and of course, they're doing what, you know, sisters would do in that particular situation, mm-hmm. you know, and Drew says, I think, you know, I just wasn't light enough for him. He had to just go and get a white woman, mm-hmm. Which, I don't know, you know, just looking back now, mm-hmm. I'm not sure. What do you think about that? You know, some men, I do believe, especially darker skinned men, because I talk about colorism, even in my book series, you know, how uh-huh. dark skinned men choose light skinned women, you know, and because they want their children to look a certain way. Sure. So what's your take on that? The whole colorism thing?
I think that the ways in which we've internalized what has happened to us in this country, first thinking about how I just mentioned a few minutes ago how white women had always been, you know, been placed on this pedestal and mm-hmm. how the white skin was always better looking, all the things. And I think we really have internalized that. Mm-hmm. And that's for all colonized places all over the world. I mean, India has a serious caste system, yes. right? Mm-hmm. South America, I think that I read some time ago that the lighter you are, like really, it's not a caste system over there, or maybe it is, but the lighter you are, whatever, you know, people who are in high-end business, the people who have the most money are lighter skinned, mm-hmm. period. Mm-hmm. And so I think that colorism is a real thing. Mm-hmm. The flip side or the other side of that conversation, though, is all the pain that people that of a darker hue have to endure, mm-hmm. not just from outside, but certainly from inside, right? Because, mm-hmm. you know, we are bad. We got it bad. You know, yes. we'll call somebody a black so-and-so in a minute. Mm-hmm. And it is not a compliment. Mm. And so how do people internalize that? And then how does it show up in their lives later? Southern dark-skinned men, I've never really met one that didn't have a preference for light-skinned women. Mm. I've not met them, right? Mm-hmm. That's been in my personal life. Mm-hmm. But again, thinking about how they were impacted by colorism themselves, mm-hmm. and how they might not want their children to experience it at that level, right? Yes. Mm-hmm. That's a powerful conversation. And colorism is a powerful and very deadly construct for people, because mm-hmm. you cannot help this.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. And I tell my daughter that, you know, people can't help the way they look. They can't help the color of their skin, no more than they can help the color of their eyes. Yeah. You know, their height, everything. It's all genetics, and it's all a part of their DNA. So when people glorify one group for, you know, because of the way they look, they have nothing to do with that. That's DNA. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. you Absolutely. Can't hate someone, you know, because of the way they look. You got to take that up with God.
Absolutely.
Whatever higher power, you know.
Yeah, you believe. That's the truth. And that's it. Like, what can you, can't do anything about that, mm-hmm. which is the real painful part of all of this, right? Mm-hmm. Being discriminated against by your own mm-hmm. and others because mm-hmm. of something that you can literally not help.
Mm, yeah. So I'm going to move right along to a recent sermon that Bishop T.D. Jakes, you know, the one and only, preached. Real men pour in. Now, Bishop Jakes preached this message, I want to say, back in June.
Father's Day?
Yes. And so in it, he discusses how men need something to pour into. And he says during the sermon,
because we're raising up women to be men. And you are not applauded for your femininity. You are applauded in the contemporary society by how tough, rough, nasty, mean, aggressive, hateful, possessive you are, and you are climbing the corporate ladder, but we are losing our families.
This is a conversation that I've had with men, black men, you know, and it seems to be a problem that they feel like women, especially black women, are too independent, are too strong, are too whatever have you. And so it's causing this rift. Bishop Jakes kind of, this is what he's talking about. So he is reiterating this notion, if you will. What's your take on this?
You know, it's heartbreaking. We're laughing sometimes to keep from crying, mm-hmm. but black women cannot win. We can't win. Mm. If we don't do anything, you're trifling. If you go out and do something, but you're too aggressive, you're masculine. This idea that black women are, and this didn't start with us. White people have always kind of talked about us in this way too. Mm. So this whole idea of black women being more masculine, mm-hmm. And particularly the darker you are, right? Mm-hmm. And yes. so that really started with them. So that ain't new. But it is new when you have this pastor who has the kind of forum he does, standing over the pulpit and reiterating mm-hmm. this kind of really sexist, patriarchal, misogynistic trope that hurts Black women. It hurts Black women and it hurts Black girls. And I'm, you know, I used to listen to him and like him and gave him some credit, right? Mm-hmm. A broke clock is right twice a day. But this, I'm done. I can't. Like, and all you hear now, because I've listened to this several times, mm-hmm. and all you hear is Black men just in complete agreement, and Black women, because mm-hmm. trust, rest, and believe, Black women are totally standing for mm-hmm. patriarchy, sexism, and misogyny, because it puts them in proximity to men. Right. So mm. I'm going to, if I align with those things, mm-hmm. then more than likely I'll have a partner, mm. even though you're aligning with the oppression of yourself. Okay. That's another topic. Wow. So, but I really think that, so I had copied down what he said, and I'm saying, you're plotted in contemporary society based on how tough, rough, nasty, mean, aggressive, and possessive you are. Mm-hmm. Where are these women? Who is he talking about? I am very successful and I don't practice any of these things. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I have lots of women in my life, including clients and friends and family, who are uber successful. They're not these things. So I don't know the association with climbing a corporate ladder. How does that become synonymous with these negative characteristics? Yeah. Also, sister, where are all the men who are available to let us sit at home and be feminine? Where are they? Mm. I'd love to stay at home. Well, I do stay. I work from home. Mm-hmm. But I'd love to not have to work as hard as I do. That would be fantastic. Mm-hmm. But who's going to do that for me? Mm. So for him to conflate the idea that us working and climbing, you know, the ladder of success with masculinity and these negative characteristics, it just makes him sound ignorant. I don't know what to say about that. Like, it just doesn't even, I need for him to come back and explain to us what exactly he meant, because I don't get it. Mm-hmm. How are you conflating these ideas? Mm-hmm. Me working to be successful is what I need to do so I can take care of myself as a woman. Mm-hmm. Now, if I'm married, and you know how expensive things are now, mm-hmm. It takes two people working in a household really to make it. Mm-hmm. I'm very confused, and I'm very disappointed in his ideas or ideology around mm-hmm. this conversation. Let men sit down and have conversations about how patriarchy, sexism, and misogyny hurts the entire community, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Let's define these things for Black men so they understand them, because you got people like Snoop and T.I. saying certain things, and when somebody's, you know, and making these pronouncements about women and blah, 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 and daughters having to be checked to see if they're virgins. Yes. And when somebody says the word patriarchy and sexual misogyny, they don't even know what that means. What does that mean? Mm. Sir. So I think that we need to find these things for men so that that they can have some conversations and start to deconstruct how all of those things are oppressive to mm-hmm. women. Right. Mm-hmm. And we haven't been able, I don't know about you, but none of us probably really. And do you work, of course. Mm-hmm. So we've never had the option to stay home. Hmm. Really. I mean, most Black women have always had to work. Yeah. So I don't understand how femininity is tied into us not working or not being concerned with our success. Mm-hmm. I don't get it.
Yeah.
Maybe somebody else can come on.
Well, I am so confused. I think a lot of us are confused by that, because like you said, you know, today it takes a two-income household, especially if you have one child, okay, it takes a two-income household. And I think, you know, for most married couples I know, you know, the husband and the wife work, you know, including my household. So the thing is, and I think that people have been talking about this for a long time. Women now are running Fortune 500 companies. They are being promoted left and right. They are entrepreneurs. You know, they own their own businesses. They are doing their dang thing, if I can say. And I'm just going to say this. I think it makes a lot of men feel uncomfortable, you know. I can't find any euphemisms.
That was the whole, you know, the reason why Kevin Samuels got all the love, right? Because he would get on and talk about Black women and demean and degradate us, mm-hmm. Our desire to be successful and how old we are and how we look and how much we weigh. I mean, it's like we're getting it from all sides. Even my mother was like, why do Black men hate Black women? What is going on? Mm. I don't know. Mm. I don't know. And see, now anybody can pick up a mic
mm-hmm. yeah.
and start talking and create. And so then you got people, men who've been feeling some kind of way, mm-hmm. like, whoa, this is the room I need to be in, right?
Sure. So I mean, well, speaking of this, you know, you spoke to a young lady and who may have been affected by Bishop Jakes's message. She's 28 years old, and she wanted you to advise her on how to be less masculine and more feminine because her guy is threatening to break up with her if she doesn't. You said she recently made a major purchase that, you know, will create generational wealth. And he's mad because she didn't consult him first. She works full time and she serves on several boards and she owns property. So she's seriously trying to figure out how to become less of who she is to be in this relationship. And this upset you, obviously. Why?
I was just out. I had to try to keep a, you know, poker face, but I just was outraged by the idea that somebody is trying to become less of themselves to be in a relationship with a dodo. So I'm sorry, but literally, like, are you, first of all, you're not married to me, so then I don't have to consult you about anything. I'm telling you that I'm making the kind of moves that I am to create generational wealth for our future children and us. And you tell me, because this is what he told her. He said, I can go marry somebody that works at 7-Eleven. And then, you know, she'll have meals cooked for me when I get home and wash my clothes. And I said, you should tell him to go ahead and do that.
Wow.
That's good. That's great.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Because, so,
And this is a young man. And so what is, what's interesting is I was alluding to all these podcasts and spaces where men are now, you know, out here talking about Black women and you know, really having these nasty conversations about us. And she kept, she said, well, I've been listening to all these podcasts that he tells me to listen to, and maybe Black women are too masculine. And I just was like, wow. So my advice to her was to sit with him and ask him, hey, I'll quit the job tomorrow and I'll wash your clothes and cook for you every day. Are you going to be able to pay the mortgage, take care of my car note, all of these things? Can you do that? And she said, and I saw her, the shift. I said, now, if he can do that, fine. And so she was like, I am going to ask him that. If if this is important to him, then can I quit work tomorrow? Because if that's the case, you can take care of all of my bills and all of yours. I'm more than happy to sit at home and cook for you every day. Because his expectation now is that she do his laundry and cook. And I told her, I said, you know, here's what I want to say too. Don't get started with somebody which you don't, which you're not going to be able to keep up. Right. So if you, that's not what you want to do, don't start that, because it'll be an expectation that you continue doing it. And so I saw this shift in her, because at first she was dead serious. Like, can you teach me how to be feminine? And I said, I don't know how. I mean, like, I, you know, what's that mean? Like,
wow.
I know what femininity is, but, you know, it's questionable as to whether or not I even ascribe to that. I mean, you know, I like dresses and nails done and some stuff like that. You know, what does femininity mean to this person? Does it mean subservient? Does it mean somebody who is not, does not have an opinion of their own, who's going to let you tell them what to do? And I think that's what it means to a lot of people, a lot of men anyway. So I'm interested what to, when I meet with her, talk to her again, what kind of conversation that was, because I wanted to go back to something with T.D. Jakes.
Yes,
I listened to quite a bit of that clip, and he says, I know you can buy your own car, I know you can buy your own home, but until you create a need I can pour into, I have no place in your life. So this idea that we, they need to be needed. Now, you know what I need from a man? Love, reciprocity, compassion, companionship, respect. That's what I need. That's what I need from you. Yes, I can buy my own house. Yes, I can provide for myself. But that doesn't mean that I don't have some needs from a man that, that I would expect, right? Like, sure, those are the things that I need from you. I need you to not, if I, if somebody's knocking on and trying to break in my house, to get up and go see what's going on downstairs, right? I need that too. So because I don't need you to buy a house and car, does that make it, I mean, it's like prioritizing needs. What need is more? You know, like, what?
Yes.
I'm so confused by this. I think therein lies
the problem, because I've heard people say that too. I've heard clips of Kevin Samuel saying, you know, who cares? You know, a man don't care if you have, you know, you making six figures and you have your own house. You know, he can go marry a woman who works at McDonald's and she'll be everything to him that he needs. So I think those two ideas are meeting somewhere in the middle here. I do know this for a fact, just being married to, you know, a Black man for over 14 years, men do, they have to feel like you need them for something. I don't know if it's an ego thing. I don't know if it's just the way that they are designed. They do have to feel needed, because I was a single Black woman for years. I bought my first house when I was 25 years old. And I used to hear people tell me, don't get too set in your ways, because no man is going to want you. You know, if you're this independent woman who can do all of this stuff, and, you know, so be careful. And I'm admitting this to the world. You know, when I did get married, I did feel some kind of way like, okay, I know what I'm worth. I know what I am. I know who I am. But I don't want to make him feel, you know, some kind of way. I want him to still feel like, you know, he's the man that he is. So I think that I shrank a little bit. Okay. And I think a lot of women do, you know, especially in the beginning of their marriages, because of that whole notion, be careful, because if you're too independent, you know, I heard that a lot when I was, you know,
I hear it too. Sure. I hear it now too. And I feel like I can't shrink myself. Mm-hmm. And I feel like if a man wants me to shrink myself, then he doesn't want me. That's what I feel. He doesn't want me in my totality and my fullest humanity. He doesn't want that. And so that's not the man for me. I remember somebody told me some years ago that if I would shut the F up, he would marry me.
Wow.
And when I got through laughing, first of all, you're being presumptuous, sir, because I wouldn't marry you under any circumstances. And secondly, if you need me to shut up, then I'm probably not the woman for you. You know what I mean? And so he was that serious.
Wow.
You know, you want to control me. You can't control that Focus you drive. Get out of here. So, no. So, yeah, it's just, it all goes back to the idea. And, you know, religion is a real, you know, it's one of the biggest, the Black church is really one of the biggest culprits here in terms of teaching this to women and honing in on the man being the head, you know. And I feel like, but they don't talk about the part where God says you should treat your wife like, you know, think of her like you think of the church or God. They don't talk about that part. You know, just the idea that you're the head of something. If you marry somebody and you both are accomplished, then you both come to the table and make decisions about what's going to happen in this house. Period. There'll be times that the woman might not care and the man makes the decision, and vice versa. My brother, who's been married for 21 years, tells me all the time, sis, I don't need to be the head of this house because my wife is smarter than me. All the time. He's told me so many times, she's smarter than me. So being the head of what? Like, we're partners in here, period.
Wow.
And, but here's what I want to say. I think that a lot of Black men walk around feeling powerless in this white supremacist society, very powerless. And they experience powerlessness in such, like really traumatic ways. They don't, you know, just how they've been positioned in the society. And I think the only place that Black men have ever had power is over women and children in their homes and from the pulpit. And so they're holding on. I think, like, we're seeing white men grab for power now and try to hold on to it. I feel that Black men are doing the same thing right now. It's a power grab, because I don't feel powerful. I feel powerless. And so it's going to show up in my treatment of women and how I think about them. Rather than thinking about your power being rooted in the idea that we are made in the image of God with all the power therein, right? Mm-hmm. So that's where power comes from. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Feeling power. Mm-hmm. It doesn't come from being able to oppress other people. So in my mind, if your power comes from your oppression of me, then we got a problem. Mm-hmm. You got to cultivate some real power. You got to get connected to God in a real way so that you feel powerful just because you're here.
Mm. Wow.
Period.
That's why you're the resident therapist here at the 40 Plus. Woo, girl.
Thank you. And it's just as simple as that for me. I think that those are the conversations that we have to have is you're walking around here feeling like this and your oppression causes you to want to oppress other people rather than thinking about it the opposite, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you have people who feel powerful, who love each other, the relationship is reciprocal and respectful, and everybody, both people are holding each other's best interest at the same level as the other person. Mm-hmm. Baby, you got that. You're talking about a power marriage, right? Yeah. Like that's
power couple.
That's the kind of relationship. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Real power, not fake power.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, that is, I mean, that's a word, because I think that there is sort of this power struggle in a lot of households, especially a lot of Black households. Let's just face it. Because women are doing so many things, so many wonderful things. And here's my thing. And this is why I wanted to take it back, because women of the past, especially Black women, have come a long way. There was a time when we were considered second-class citizens. We couldn't vote. We couldn't buy or own property. We couldn't have a credit card open in our names. We had the husband had to be the primary on the credit card. Couldn't work in certain corporate settings other than as secretaries. We were not counted worthy of anything without a man. And I just believe, you know, that times have changed. And instead of celebrating that for us, a lot of men feel intimidated. But I feel like we should be celebrated for how far we have come, you know, instead of, you know, being beat up saying, oh, you know, so what, you got a house, so what, you got this, so what, you doing that. You know, I still need my, you know, my meals cooked. And for the record, you know, I've always been a working woman, but I cook, you know, I clean, I take care of my child, you know. So talking about those roles in a household, and I was just listening to a podcast now, gender roles and marriages. I don't think that roles should be assigned to people by gender, you know, because marriages look all kinds of ways now, you know. And so we just have to come up to the time in which we live.
Yeah. I mean, evolution, right? Mm-hmm. Evolve.
Yes.
You know, one of the things that I think about all the time is in our community, Black women are, you know, leaps and bounds ahead of Black men in terms of education and opportunities. And I think that causes men to feel some kind of way. And I don't know how to address that particular conversation because, you know, in my mind, well, do better, right? Like, I worked my ass off to be who I am. So you should do the same. But then that conversation always turns into, well, we don't have the same opportunities that you do.
Yes.
Is that real? Mm-hmm. I would love to have a conversation with somebody about, is that the truth?
Mm-hmm. I've heard that too. I hear men tell me that all the time. Black women get way more opportunities than we do. I've heard Black men say that. I've heard them say that. You know, Black
women. And I'll go, if that's true, I mean, is that the truth? And where can I see that, right? Like written, somebody has actually looked at that and said, this is the truth based on my research or what we see. Like, how aren't they given the same opportunities? If they're in the same schools with me, if they're, you know, at the same companies, or are they saying they don't get opportunities to even get in those spaces? Is that what they're saying? Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I don't know. I've never really had a conversation with somebody about that outside of they just throw it out there, but there's nothing to substantiate that. And that's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, it is interesting. You did mention this. Black women are the most educated group in this country, in America.
And I'm going to tell you something that's really interesting to me. And I've been saying this for years. Black women have made school and education and academics their partners. I'm telling you, I know people with 3 and 4 master's degrees, You're too. Like, what are you going back to school?
Yeah.
Not married, usually, no children. Mm-hmm. So this has become like some kind of partner, like just to be in school, right? And I think it's interesting because I don't know why anybody needs 3 master's degrees. I don't understand it. But like you got money to just throw away. But I, you know, we really have, we do that. We'll go to school and we will get degrees for sure.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's interesting.
So I think that again, just going back to what we said before, Black men and this feeling of powerlessness. I mean, just being power, just feeling like they have no power. Mm-hmm. They can't tell us what to do. They can't expect meals to be on the table because we're working too. They can't do it. Mm-hmm. So then if I don't feel powerful in my own right, then how do I show up as a man? Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. But to me, it should not be about, you know, that's not what being a man is about. You know, your brother sounds like he has evolved tremendously. Just to say that his wife is smarter than he is just.
Yeah. I said that.
And she's smarter than him. And I'm all about, you know, partnerships. A marriage is a partnership to me. You know, you pull on your strengths, I'll pull on my strengths. Let's come together and we can do this thing, you know. But.
And I'm so cool with that. Like, that's to me. I don't want to make, I'm tired of making all the decisions. Mm-hmm. I'm tired of it. Mm-hmm. Please make some decisions and just let me sit here and say, okay. I love the idea of having somebody to say, babe, we're going to do it this way. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, nothing, you know, outside of things that are in alignment with my values, right? Like, cool. You do it, right?
Yeah.
I have no problem with that. And I think if you're a man who knows how to love a woman and feels powerful within yourself, I don't mind, you know, I don't.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I know what you're saying. Yeah. So, you know, I think we all watched Good Times growing up, you know, and I
watch it, you know, I watch it on Saturday too.
Yeah. And so, so there's one episode of Good Times when Florida began attending those women's meetings. And so James had a problem with it.
I'm gonna tell you, you've been driving everybody crazy running around here. Now you're going to them women's meetings. I'll tell you something Uncle Ed used to say, and maybe he was right. There's only 2 places a woman belongs, Florida.
James, don't say it.
Kissing in the bedroom, Florida. Just kissing in the bedroom.
I remember. Cracks me up. You know, I love James, though. Like, James was like the quintessential man, right? Like father figure. Like James was, he was all of those things because he was a man's man when we think about roles and in that particular way. I remember that scene very well. And thinking when I've seen it recently, just laughing at that, right? Like women are like, we're like, what does that even mean? if we could just be in the kitchen and the bedroom, right? We can't, we got to go to work. Okay. So that's not even something that is possible in most homes at this point. So just so outdated.
Thought. And it, I mean, it's just so funny. You know, we look back and we laugh at it now and everything, but I really believe that a lot of men, you know, they want, in one sense, they want women who are evolved. They don't want women like their grandmothers. But at the same time, you know, if you don't want us to be like our grandmothers, you have to also understand that in this day and time, in this evolved, you know, world that we live in, a lot of women don't stay home, can't stay home, right?
Nope.
Can't just stay home and just, you know, and let me back up and say just stay home, because let me tell you, taking care of a home and taking care of children and, you know, all of those things, you know, doing laundry, cooking, cleaning, grocery shop, I mean, all of those, that's a job. That's 2 full-time jobs.
Absolutely.
So women who do that, you know, I just want to applaud women who do that, because a lot of times that's the glue that holds the family together, you know. Mm-hmm. But Good Times episode aside, I think that a lot of men today feel like women have outgrown their quote unquote place. They have outgrown their place. And it's sad to me. It really is sad. You know, instead of celebrating women for how far we've come, you know, because you feel some kind of way about a woman's success, then you have to tear her down in other ways.
And I think that, you know, these people that I see talking about women in these really derogatory ways, a lot of them are just talking about just being straight out jealous because we have surpassed them at this point. And, sir, that's not my problem. That's your problem. Sometimes I'll, you know, Facebook stuff will pop up and I'll engage it, and you see them, you'll click on the pictures of the men who make the men who are making the most derogatory comments. You got some other issues, man. and my success ain't it. So, yeah, no, we're not gonna do that. So I feel like, you know, since we gotta stop talking about this, because this ain't our problem. And that's why I keep saying to people, I'm tired of talking about men's problems. I'm not a man. You need them to start having these conversations with each other, with somebody to facilitate the conversation who is connected to his power. Mm-hmm. So that we can start just deconstructing this. I'm tired of talking about this. Mm-hmm. This is not my problem. It impacts me, right? And I'm going to tell you, there are a lot of women out here, Black women, who are very sad and sometimes depressed about the likelihood that they will be married. And they have, you know, they're on the sites and they want to be with Black men, and they get in these relationships and the men just start tearing them down and you know, challenging who they are and all those things. I recently started engaging with somebody who has been married for several decades and who is now getting a divorce because that's what the husband wanted. And the reason why he wanted the divorce after all of this time, after several decades, is because he feels like because she makes more money, she thinks that she's better or whatever. And I'm like, but you've been making this amount of money. This ain't nothing new. Mm-hmm. But just, and this person said, I tried to make him feel this way. I let him do these things. Mm-hmm. I never acted like it was mine. And yet after all of this and this family that we have, that is has been such a thing in his heart and spirit that he didn't even want to be in this house with me anymore.
Wow.
Do you know how absolutely crazy that is?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This thing is serious.
That's disturbing. That's disturbing on so many levels.
It is.
Wow.
And so a lot of women do find themselves making trying to decide whether or not, you know, they're going to be married, like, you know, deciding maybe they're not, right? And just being by themselves because they're tired of the hurt and aggravation and pain. And then we're internalizing all these other things. Like, you know, that message that T.D. Jakes preached, that's hurtful. Mm-hmm. It hurt me to see this Black man with this form stand up there and say those words. And I'm not the only person who was hurt by it, right? Mm-hmm. Then thinking about it from the perspective of some men were going to leave there that day and then practice that on their wives and on their daughters.
Mm. Wow.
So, you know, there's a reason why a lot of people, there's a big falling away from the church because they do a lot of things that are violent and hurtful to us.
Yeah, it's, you know, and that's a whole nother podcast. And we got to do that podcast one day because we grew up in the same church. another podcast for sure. So I just feel like there's a great divide now, only because everywhere I turn, you know, I hear Black men saying something about, you know, what's going on, and then Black women. And it seems we're being pitted against each other. And I heard someone say that that's by design. And that's, you know, but what are we going to do about it? That's my question. What are we going to do about it? If it's by design, and if society, you know, white supremacy, whatever it is, if it's by design, and this is where we have found ourselves, what is the solution? And I know we're not going to solve the world's problems, you know, today, but what is that about? Like, you know, relationship experts popping up all over social media. Each one seems to have found the answers to the questions as far as why Black women are the most single women in the world, statistically speaking. What is what's happening? What's the solution? what kind of conversations should we start having?
Well, what I think Black women should start doing is casting their net wider than Black men, just straight up. We got to start being open to dating outside the race. There's 7 Black women for every 1 Black man, I think.
In most places. Yeah. I think it's higher in D.C. in like certain cities. In D.C., it was 10 to 1 at one point.
So even if all the men, if there were no Black men locked up, if there were no Black men that were that identified as homosexual or gay, there were no Black men who were incels, if there was no Black men who had jobs, whatever, and we lined them up, a lot of us would still not have a man. So I'm saying, ladies, we have to start thinking about that. Is partnership important to me? Yeah. Have I prioritized Black men in the past? Sure. Mm-hmm. But if I want to get married or be in, a committed relationship, then I have to start thinking about what that looks like. And it may not be with a Black man, right? Mm-hmm. And start opening myself up to other groups. And don't have to be white men. It could be Indian, Hispanic, other men. I think that you are right. We are being pitted against each other. Women out here fighting literally over men, fighting about men. A desperation has set in for some of us. We want it so bad that we'll do anything for it. And I think the only thing we can do about that is really start to cultivate self-worth and self-esteem and understanding for ourselves the idea that we're made in the image of God with all the power therein. Mm-hmm. And that I believe in manifestation in a real way, right? Viola said when she wanted a partner, her friend said, get on your knees and pray and tell God exactly what you're looking for and trust him. And she did. And she met him a little time after that.
She did.
I believe in that kind of stuff, right? But I think, again, taking this limitation off what it is that you want, be open to what the universe may have for you, is one of the things that I think we need to do. But working on ourselves and understanding. When Kevin Samuels was talking and I hear these Black men saying these things, for me, because I've done the work with my self-worth and self-esteem to a certain degree, it doesn't hit the same way. I see them for what they are, because people who are well don't say the kind of things that Kevin Samuels says. Mm-hmm. People who are emotionally, mentally, and spiritually well don't say that Black women are masculine. Mm-hmm. We're becoming more masculine because we are successful. They don't say that. That's a lot of garbage in here that you're just projecting out. Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't hit me the same way as it may hit somebody who hasn't done the work, who already has a core belief system that says I'm not enough. So they keep hearing this stuff and it just keeps triggering that, right? Mm-hmm. Something must really be wrong with me that this is how Black men feel about me, why I don't have a partner. And I think the only thing we can do about that is work to build and cultivate how we feel about ourselves, period. And my Black women, those are my sisters. I'm not here. I'm not competing with them for anything. I want Black women. I want all my sisters to have what they want. What do you want? You want a husband? I want you to have that. I want you to have somebody who is kind to you, who is nice. And I want the same thing. And I can affirm that for you and hope you can affirm the same thing for me. So we've got to start having those discussions. But I think, again, I think men, they need to start having discussions too, because every word that comes out of your mouth, every thought that you have creates a corresponding physiological response. Negativity sits on your organs and brain parts and makes you sick. You know, hearing what T.D. Jakes said, seriously, those words were not meant to uplift me. They weren't. Now, they're in a place of worship, but it wasn't meant to bring me up. It brought me down, right? And so how that impacts my physical health. So we got a lot of stuff to talk about. I mean, it's just, this is I've never seen it this bad in terms of where Black men and Black women are. Maybe it's always been this bad, but now they have all these forums where they can actually say the stuff. And we get exposed to how they really feel about us.
Yeah.
But to answer your question, I think that the solution is working on your self-worth, working on your self-esteem, aligning yourself with your values, and being in spaces where you are loved and cared for, period. Mm-hmm. No matter what colors there are in the room.
Yes, that's good sound advice, because that's what it all boils down to. It boils down to everyone being a healthy, well-adjusted person. You know, if you are a healthy, well-adjusted person, then, you know, I think your entire perspective about a lot of things will start to change. But we all have to work on being healthy, well-adjusted people. It's about doing the work, right? What Yana Vincent says a lot of times, you got to do the work.
I mean, there's no other way to get it. And Black men are really one of the, I mean, they're resistant to doing the work because ain't nothing wrong with them. Because you know why nothing wrong with them? Because nobody has held them accountable for anything. A Black man can be schizophrenic, blind, no arms and legs, and have a wife. That's how bad it is out here. Ooh. Any way that they show up, we'd be like, okay, let me dust them off, put a suit on it. Mm-hmm. I'm serious. So, you know, they don't have to be accountable for their behavior and the things that they say and do, because we don't hold them to anything. Somebody that was married told me recently, well, I didn't confront my husband on his egregious behavior because I didn't want him to leave me.
Yeah.
So some of the things that they are saying and doing are because we don't help, you know, nobody's ever held them accountable, including their mamas. Raising the daughter and loving the son.
Ooh. Wow. Now here's the thing. You're not the first therapist I've heard say that. So I don't know.
I love Black men. I really do. Yes. I love them. Me too. You know, I really do. I love them. I want them to do better, though. I do. I want them to challenge themselves and come up a little bit emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. I really do. That's the challenge to me for them, is to do this work, this internal work that a lot of us have been doing or are doing. Mm-hmm. I want them to do it. And there are some Black men who are. I just had a couple come yesterday for a consultation, and I'd never had a Black couple where the man was the one who was like, I know we need this. I was like, whoa.
Wow.
So really feeling like he wants to be with this woman and he wants to figure this out within this therapeutic setting. And I'm just like, whoa.
Yeah.
So,
but that is happening more and more. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It really is. I think people are running into walls and they are like, I got to do something here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I know a few Black men who are in therapy, who've been in therapy, and they look up and they look around and they finally figure it out, you know, that, okay, I need to figure some stuff out and I need to go back and deal with some things, you know, within myself. So, and that's what it's about. Yeah. That's all any of us can do. We can, you know, we have to work on ourselves. Even when you're in a marriage, you know, you're 50%. And if you feel like you have problems in your marriage, you are half the problem because you are in the marriage.
Yes, exactly.
So you're 50% of the problem. You got to work on your stuff. And so, yes. Well, Lisa, this has been amazing as always. And
you know, I love talking to you.
Yeah. Likewise, of course. Going to be in the show notes, but if you want to share your website again, your social media handles, so that people can know how to find you.
So social media, all of my social media is Lisa Butler LCSW. That's Instagram and Facebook. And my website is lisabutlerlcsw.com.
All right. Well, thank you so much again, Lisa, for sharing your 40 plus power with us. Again, we love having you on the show. So,
yes, it's always my pleasure to come here. Thank you for having me again. I appreciate it.
Lisa continues to work tirelessly to lift up Black women and help make sure that we are all rising to become the best version of ourselves. She continues to change the lives of her clients through her private therapy practice in Chicago. To find out more about Lisa, you may visit her website at www.lisabutlerlcsw.com. For more information about the podcast, send inquiries to info@the40plusfiles.com. Don't forget to follow the podcast on Instagram
at the 40 Plus Files. You can also follow my blog at www.wordyprofessor.com. Until next time, 40 Plus Phenoms, keep on shining.